Chelak Yodalid, Parshas Kisetze, Sicha Beis. At the end of our Parsha, Rashi comments on the words, Timcha Ezecher Amalek. You shall obliterate the remembrance of Amalek. And he brings a pasuk from the Navi Shmuel, where Hashem tells Shaul HaMelech to destroy all from Amalek. Me'ish Vad Isha, from man to woman. Me'oilel Vad Yoinek, from infant to suckling. Meshar v'ad seh, from ox to sheep. And Rashi adds, Shelo yehi shem Amalek nizkar afilu al habehema, so that the name of Amalek should not be remembered even through the animals. Loimar behema zu mishel Amalek haisa, because someone might say, this animal was from Amalek. At first look, it seems that Rashi is coming to let us know that Mechia Zecher Amalek, obliterating the remembrance of Amalek, implies not only killing the people of Amalek, but also destroying the animals of Amalek. And it was necessary for Rashi to comment on this, according to Pshutei Shel Mikra, according to the simple explanation, because if not, it's possible that Amalek's name might still be remembered through their animals. And therefore, Rashi points out that the animals of Amalek must also be destroyed. Also, people are not Zecher Amalek. People are simply Amalek. So the fact that the word Zecher Amalek, the remembrance of Amalek, is used here must mean that this is referring to the animals which must be destroyed. Now the Rebbe delves deeper into this, and he asks, we need to really understand what is so difficult in the words Timche Zecher Amalek that Rashi felt it necessary to comment. Could we not have figured out on our own that the animals of Amalek also had to be destroyed? Now you could say that Rashi is not necessarily explaining the actual words Timcha Ezecher Amalek, but he is explaining how the Mechia Ezecher Amalek, how the destruction of the remembrance of Amalek should happen, and it should happen not only through killing the people, but also through killing the animals. But if so, if Rashi is commenting on either the words or on how the destruction of Amalek is happening, shouldn't he have explained this above, a few parshas earlier, in Parshas Bishalach, where the story of Amalek is written in detail, and at the end of which it states, Hashem says, Emcha Ezecher Amalek, I will wipe out and obliterate the remembrance of Amalek. And Rashi doesn't comment at all there, which must mean that both that wording, which is similar to the wording here, and the manner of Mechia Zecher Amalek is so simple for us to understand on our own that even a Ben Chumash LeMikra, even a five-year-old learning Chumash, would figure it out on our own. And Rashi doesn't need to explain it there. So why does Rashi feel the need to comment on it here in our Parsha? The Rebbe also has questions about Rashi's actual commentary and the specific wording. The first question, Aleph, since Rashi's chiddush here is that Mechia Zecher Amalek, destroying the remembrance of Amalek, is even on the animals, why does he include the beginning of the pasuk from Shmuel, which says, Me'ish v'ad isha me'olo v'ad yoinek, from man to woman, from infant to suckling? If this is only to bring out the chiddush about the animals, why is he including that the humans, the people, need to be killed as well? That seems unnecessary here. Beis, the second question, why doesn't Rashi quote the end of the pasuk from Shmuel, which adds two more animals, megamel v'ad chamar, from camel until donkey? Since they are also animals, they're also a reminder of Amalek, and they're not in the same category as Shur and Seh, as ox and sheep. And obviously in Shmuel, it was felt that it had to be added as well as the animals that needed to be destroyed as part of Amalek. So why isn't it included here if the whole point of Rashi's explanation is to include the destruction of the animals? Gimel, the third question. When Rashi quotes the pasuk from Shmuel, he doesn't write kidichsiv, as it is written. And in many other places, when Rashi's bringing a quote from another part of the Torah, he does choose to begin with kidichsiv, as it is written. Dalet, the fourth question. After Rashi explains why the animals need to be destroyed, so that the name of Amalek should not be remembered even through the animals, he adds, because someone might say that this animal is also from Amalek. It seems unnecessary and repetitive. It's enough to say the reason the animals are killed so that it doesn't remind us of Amalek. Why does he have to add that someone might say that this animal is also from Amalek? We know that every word in Torah is important and precious, and we know that every word in Rashi has a meaning. So why does Rashi add these extra words? Finally, the fifth question. In the beginning of his commentary, Rashi brings the Dibur HaMaschil, the words from the pasuk that he's commenting on, which are, Timcha Ezecher Amalek, you shall obliterate the remembrance of Amalek. However, the only words that he explains are Zecher Amalek. What is the remembrance of Amalek? It's the animals. So why is he including Timcha, you shall wipe out? He's not telling us how to destroy the animals. He's just telling us that it's the animals that need to be destroyed. So why does he include Timcha, the word, in the beginning of the Dibur HaMaschil? So, these are all the many questions we have. So what's the explanation? So the Rebbe explains as follows. The commandment that we are told, and we say it every day in davening, is that we must destroy the remembrance of Amalek. However, there's some difficulties here. How can we be commanded to timcha zecher Amalek, to obliterate or to wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from our memories, from our minds, and from our hearts? How is it possible to command someone to wipe out a memory or to wipe out a thought or to wipe out a feeling? We don't have control over the thoughts that come into our heads or the feelings that come into our hearts or the memories that we have. It should have said, Zecher Amalek layia libcha. The remembrance of Amalek, it shouldn't be on your heart. You shouldn't always think about it. Or tasa melibcha, you should try to remove it from your heart. And basically that you shouldn't do it willingly. Beratzain, you shouldn't willingly think about Amalek. But a person can't control his mind to the extent that he never even thinks about Amalek, to the extent that it never even falls into his head a memory or a remembrance or a thought about Amalek. We don't have that kind of mind control. And accordingly, we know that the Chachamim tell us, Gimel Averis Ein Adam Nitzol Mehem B'chol Yoin. There are three Averis that a person cannot get away from and cannot be saved from that happen every day. And the first one is, Hear Her Avera, the thought or the desire to do an Avera. It will just come into our mind and hearts. There's no way to get away from it. So how can we be commanded not to think or not to feel anything about Amalek? Now, let's refer to Parshas Bishalach, where this is originally spoken about, and where it says, Hashem says, Ki mochoi emcha ezecher Amalek. I will wipe out the remembrance of Amalek. Hashem is saying, Hashem, who's a kol yachal, who can do anything, is promising, he will wipe out and cause us to forget Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu maftiach sheyimche v'yashkiach ezecher Amalek machshavton v'liban shel b'nei Adam. Hashem is promising that he'll remove and make us forget and wipe out Amalek from our minds and our hearts. So Hashem is saying he'll do that. So there's no question on Parshas Bishalach because this is Hashem's promise. But in this Parsha, the command is on us. It says, Timcha ezecher Amalek. you shall wipe out the remembrance of Amalek. So the question is specifically on this parsha. How can we be commanded to remove a remembrance or a thought about Amalek from our minds and from our hearts? Therefore, specifically in this parsha, where we're commanded to remove Amalek from our minds and hearts, Rashi comes to explain and comment that the commandment is not mechia zichron from our machshava, is not to remove any remembrance or any thought from our mind. It is only to wipe out anything that is a reminder of the name of Amalek. So there should be nothing around us that we could look at it and we could say, or we could think, that is a reminder of Amalek. And what are these things that could remind us of Amalek? The man, the woman, the child, the shur, the seh, the ox, the sheep, the animals. This is all things that will remind us of Amalek. If we remove these things, eventually Amalek will be forgotten from our minds and our hearts because no physical reminders will remain. So according to the above, we understand that Rashi felt it necessary to comment specifically in this parsha on the commandment that we are told to zecher Amalek, to remember Amalek, and to actually, how do we remember it? By obliterating or removing this memory from our minds. And how do we do this? We do this by removing and destroying anything that might remind us of Amalek. So Rashi's not only coming to add the detail that you also have to destroy the animals. He's telling us animals, in addition to humans, must be obliterated so that they will not be a reminder to us of Amalek. And therefore, we can also understand why Rashi included in the beginning the pasuk from Shmuel, which says, Me'ish v'ad isha, from man until woman, because the humans and the animals remind us of Amalek, and therefore all must be destroyed. And specifically, Rashi writes, may all of the humans, the man, the woman, the child, because in the war of Midian, Milchemes Midian, the Yidden were commanded, Nikoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'es HaMidyanim. The Yidden should seek revenge on the Midyanim. But Kol Ataf B'Nashem Achayu Lachem, the children with their mothers could stay alive. Only the single girls, haraygu, should be killed. Why did these single women need to be killed? Because they're the ones who caused the men to sin, which eventually brought a plague, a magefa, on the Yidden. And since they were the ones who caused these sins and caused this plague, they need to be killed as well. But the mothers and the children, they weren't part of the sin. They weren't part of causing the plague. They're allowed to stay alive. So it might seem to us, or it might make sense, that just like the war of Midian, which was a war of revenge, a war of nekama, the women and the children were allowed to be kept alive, and the single women were only killed because they caused the sin. Perhaps this war against Amalek, which is also a war of revenge, how do we know it's a war of revenge? Because it says, Zochar es asher asa lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you, asher karcha, that they happened upon you, vayizane becha, and they cut you off. Remember what they did to you. This too is a war of revenge. So perhaps, just like the war against Midian was a war of revenge, and since this is also a war of revenge, maybe the women and the children can stay alive. And therefore, Rashi has to explain that the commandment to obliterate the remembrance of Amalek includes the men, and it includes the women, and it includes even the infants, and even the sucklings, the tiny, tiny, tiny babies. And of course, it also includes even the animals. And it doesn't need to specify the last words from Shmuel, the camels, and the donkeys, because that's self-understood. All Rashi has to say is the men, the women, the children, so we know all of them need to be killed. They're all separate categories. And then says, Shervat said, It says specifically the ox and the sheep, and we know that that includes all the animals, and there's no reason to include the other specific names that are brought in Shmuel. And now we know that all humans and all animals must be destroyed in order to obliterate the remembrance of Amalek. So this all seems to make a lot of sense, but the Rebbe has another question and he needs another clarification. If according to Rashi, the reason to kill all the people and the animals is shelo yehei shem Amalek nizkar afilu al habehema, so the name of Amalek shouldn't be remembered even through the animals, then why only kill living things? Aren't there possessions that Amalek has that will also remind us of Amalek when we look at them? For example, houses, fields, vineyards, things, tables, chairs, beds, all the possessions of Amalek might remind us of Amalek. So shouldn't we destroy them as well? Why is Rashi only writing that we should destroy the humans of Amalek and the animals of Amalek, but not the possessions? So therefore, in order to clarify this, Rashi adds, after he says that the reason the animals are being destroyed is shelo yehei shem Amalek nizkar afilu al habehema, so that the name of Amalek should not be remembered even through the animals, Rashi needs to add, loimar behema zu mishal Amalek haisa, because someone might say this animal was from Amalek. This extra line is not repetitive, because animals will always be remembered exactly as they are. Whatever an animal originally was, even 20 years later, that animal will always be remembered as it was when it was younger. It never changes. It can never be totally changed into a different form. And unlike possessions, which can totally be changed. Why? Why is this so? An animal or a living thing, you can't change it unless you're trying to hurt a chas v'shalom. And we don't do tzar bali chayim. You can't hurt an animal. So therefore, there's no way to totally change an animal so that it's totally unrecognizable. So even if the animals from Amalek went to a yid, it will always look exactly the same. And when you look at it, you'll always be reminded that this animal, Mishal Amalek Haisa, this animal was from Amalek. However, possessions, they can totally change to be unrecognizable to their original. And people won't even know that it originally belonged to Amalek. So a table can totally be painted and pieces could be added. Clothing can be changed. A house can totally be renovated. Even a vineyard, for example, you can rip out the grapes and you can rip out the trees and you can plant flowers and it will be totally unrecognizable as originally being the vineyard of Amalek. And that's why Rashi had to add, Loimar behema zu mishal Amalek haisa, because someone might say this animal was from Amalek. This explains why only these animals had to be destroyed, because animals, someone will always be able to say this animal came from Amalek. Unlike possessions, which can be changed and which won't necessarily be recognizable as it was in its original form. And according to Pshutei Shel Mikvah, Rashi had to say this because if the Nichsei Amalek, if the possessions of Amalek had to be destroyed, it would have had to use a different Lashon. It would have had to use Lashon Cherem. For example, the Ir HaNikdachas, a city of Avodah Zarah, everything needs to be destroyed in it, in order, in including possessions. And therefore, in that situation, the word Cherem is used. But since that word isn't used here, it means that the possessions do not need to be destroyed, and they don't need to be destroyed because they could totally be changed and they won't remind us of Amalek. So according to the above, and according to the opinion of Rashi, according to Pshutei Shel Mikra, according to simple explanation, we can understand something that's in a totally different part of the Torah. In Megillas Esther, where it says, Hine beis Haman nasati l'Esther. Behold, I have given the house of Haman to Esther. We know that Haman was Mizera Amalek, from the children of Amalek. He was called Haman ha'Agagi. Now, how is it possible that Esther could take Haman's house? How could she accept it? But according to this explanation, it's understood that there was no iser. It was not forbidden for her to accept the house. And in fact, it was only called Beis Haman, the house of Haman, when she took it. But once it came into her possession and she changed it to her liking, it all of a sudden became Esther's house, and it wasn't even remembered that this ever belonged to Haman. And therefore, this is another proof and another explanation as to why the possessions of Amalek didn't need to be destroyed, and they could be totally changed over, and they could become the possessions of the new person, just like the house of Haman became the possession of Esther and eventually became Esther's house. Now, after all these explanations, it is still puzzling. How can we erase Zichrei Shel Amalek, the remembrance of Amalek, if we are commanded, Rak Hishamer Lecha, Pen Tishkach, that you have to be careful not to forget, Upen Yisurim Avavcha, it shouldn't leave your heart. And in our parsha, we're specifically commanded, Zachar Es Asher Asa Lecha Amalek, remember what Amalek did to you. So not only do you have to remember it, but you have to make sure not to forget it. So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to remember what Amalek did? Or are we supposed to obliterate the remembrance of Amalek? It seems to be telling us to do two opposite things within the commandment of Amalek. But according to Pshat, the Rebbe says, we learn, De asura zechiras Amalek l'shem zechira, u'mechayeve zechiras Amalek l'shem mechia zichrei. It is forbidden to remember Amalek just for the sake of remembering, but we are chayav, we are responsible to remember Amalek in order to destroy and to obliterate his remembrance. So the only reason we remember, and we remember what Amalek did to us in the desert, is only in order to destroy the remembrance of Amalek. And actually, l'chatchila, it's a minhag to take a piece of wood or stone, to write Amalek on it, to remember what Amalek did, but then to actually erase it, to obliterate and destroy the remembrance of Amalek. So we need to remember what Amalek did to us, and then we have to make sure that the actual remembrance of Amalek is destroyed and obliterated. Now, of course, everything can be understood and has a deeper explanation in the Yeino Shel Torah, according to Chassidus. So according to Chassidus, the klipa of Amalek in our Avaida, it's the inyan of kriras. What's kriras? It says about Amalek, asher karcha baderech, who chanced upon you on the way. However, the word karcha comes from the word kar, cold. That Amalek shemakarer es ha'adam, he makes a person cold. And we know that in the Midbar, Amalek was the first to start up with the Yidden. And the example is given of a hot bathtub that everyone is scared to jump in, but the first person who jumps in cools it off. And that's what Amalek tried to do. He tried to cool off the Yidden so people weren't afraid to fight and start up with the Yidden. So too Baruchni, so too spiritually, Amalek is the klipa that tries to cool us off to Yiddishkeit, to Elikus. He wants us not to be mispael, not to be amazed and excited and have warmth to Elikus. He wants us not to have passion for Yiddishkeit. And what is Mechia Zecher Amalek in Chassidus, in our Avaida? How do we destroy the remembrance of Amalek? This is through the Avaida of Kabbalas Ol, of the unquestioning acceptance of the yoke of heaven, of accepting with Yiras Shamayim and with Bittul, with total nullification, Yiddishkeit and Hashem. And this is the foundation and the source of our Avaida. And this is hinted to in Rashi. We know about Amalek. They're also called Reishis Goyim Amalek, which stands for the seven Umais, the seven nations, and which also is connected to the seven Midais, the seven negative Midais. Now we know everything in this world is Zelu Umaseh. There needs to be a balance. And within the Nefesh HaBahamas, there are the negative Midais. But even within the Nefesh HaLikis, within our godly soul, there are the seven negative Midais as well. And even above, there's those seven negative Midais. And it says that the name of Hashem will not be complete, that the Vav and the Hey in the name of Hashem will not be complete, and the Kisei, the throne of Hashem, will not be complete, the Aleph in the word Kisei will not be complete until Amalek is eradicated. And specifically within our Midas and within the spirituality of the person, there are the concepts of the Ish and the Isha, the Mashpia and the Mekabel, and on a lower level, the Eilal and the Yoinik of the infant and the child, Mishar Vad Seh, within the animalistic parts of our soul. These are all the possibility for the negative Midas within our soul. And we are told to destroy and obliterate these seven Midas. Why? Because these Midas can actually be affected and they can turn to negativity through kriros, through coldness, and through doubt. And we have to make sure to totally destroy them and to turn them over so that they become vessels for spirituality. And how do we do that? We do that through the Bechinas Daimim, through the inanimate. And we know that the inanimate and the possessions of Amalek were allowed to be kept, didn't need to be destroyed. What do they stand for in our Avodah? They are shayach to the idea of Kabbalas Ol, of totally accepting with bittul and with humbleness the yoke of heaven and our Avodah. As it says in Tehillim, in Lashivisi Vidaimamti, if I am not at peace and I am not soothed. And when we take upon ourselves Kabbalas Ol, and we take upon ourselves this bittul and this total nullification, Amalek has no power anymore. And these seven negative Midas, these traits, are totally obliterated and destroyed. And the Amalek cannot have any effect at all. And so too in the levels above and in the higher worlds, there is no Achiza. The Amalek and the negative concepts have no power either. And so through our having these Bechinas, these concepts of Kabbalas Ol, and through Bittul, we are destroying the remembrance of Amalek and the coldness of Amalek and everything that stops us from properly and wholeheartedly serving Hashem. And when we are able to do this and able to accept this with our whole heart, then Venasa Hashem Shalem Vakisei Shalem, the name of Hashem becomes complete, and the Kisei, the throne of Hashem, becomes complete. Because Amalek is irrational and he's unresponsive to reason, and reasoning with Amalek doesn't help and will not obliterate these negative Midas. What will? Only having total Kabbalas Ol, the super irrational. And this is how we're able to totally nullify ourselves and totally turn over all of our Midas to serve Hashem. So in summary, the Rebbe explains Rashi's commentary on Mechia Zecher Amalek, on obliterating the remembrance of Amalek, that we have to destroy anything that physically reminds us of Amalek so that we totally wipe it out from our remembrance and from our memories. And this includes humans and this includes animals. But Daimim, the inanimate, that can be changed, it can totally be turned over, so that doesn't need to be destroyed. So too in our Avodah, we need to make sure that we need to totally obliterate the concept of Amalek, the concept of coldness, the concept of rationality, the cool and negativity that comes into our Avodah, and we have to do this through the idea of Kabbalas Ol and through the idea of Bittul and through bringing warmth and excitement into our Avodah, which will make not only turn us turn us over to be able to totally serve Hashem with an open heart, but it will also make the name of Hashem complete, and it will make the kisei, the throne of Hashem, complete. And with this, Amalek is totally destroyed.